Yes, let me begin also by saying Happy New Year to everybody here. Now, I wrestled with what passage to begin our New Year's with, and it was a struggle with the Mary and Martha in me. And the Martha in me wanted to focus on everything that needs to be done this coming year and the work that lies ahead and all the rest. And the Mary in me who said we need to also focus on the worship of God and sitting at his feet and listening to him and drawing near to him. And well, because Mary had chosen the better portion, Mary won in me as well this time. And I'm going to be focusing this morning on the worship of God. Let's read Psalm 145 together. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, most worthy of praise, and his greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. And they will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. And the Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Our Father, as we come this morning, we come primarily to you, the God who is worthy of all praise. And Father, I ask that today you would be merciful. Anoint me that your words may come alive in our hearts, in our lives, in our communities. Help us to get a vision of your glory as we spend time in your word this morning. Father, today is the first Sunday of the year, and I pray that this psalm may set the tone for our lives individually and as families and as a church community and as a city, the world. You're worthy of all praise. Be with us today, Lord. We want to hear from you. We need to hear from you. We are eager to hear from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have to say, I must have read this psalm more than 10 or 12 times these last 2 days, just reading it and reading it and reading it. And sometimes we focus on the words and on the content, and of course that's really important, but I was able to, you know, just sense the spirit that's behind this psalm. And I asked myself, what kind of state of mind would somebody be in to write a psalm like this? What is his frame of mind here? What is his spirit? And I got the sense that David, when he's writing this psalm, it's almost like he's actually seeing this before him. Almost like he's describing, right, what he sees in front of him. I mean, he seems overcome by this vision of the glory of God and the greatness of his kingdom. And I thought, you know, I mean, really, it sounds like only somebody who's right in the presence of God can actually write something like this with that kind of passion that you sense from these words. You know, you listen to, oh, the glorious splendor of your majesty, the wonderful works, the awesome deeds, the abundant goodness. It's almost like he can't just use a single word like goodness. He has to add abundant goodness. Or, you know, it's not just splendor, it's glorious splendor. He adds adjective after adjective. It's almost like, you know, he's struggling to find the right words to worship God, to describe what he sees. Really, there's a sense in which he's intoxicated with God in this psalm. He's writing from a full heart. He's filled with the Spirit, filled with the presence of God. And it just overflows with joy. Do you get that sense when you're reading this psalm? It's just, really, it's just overflowing. It's like he's tasting, he's seeing, he's sensing that God is good. It's a living experience with him as he's praising and worshiping God. There's nothing detached, as it were, about his worship. His mind is focused on God. His heart and his spirit are into the worship. It's not just his lips. You sense that when you read this psalm. Really, I don't know any other way to describe what, you know, David's psalm than an expression of a man deeply in love with God, his king. This psalm is a love song to God. And for David, you know, love and praise are inseparable. The more you love, the more you praise. The more you praise sincerely, the more it's an expression and shows forth your love. You know, I read that a husband once asked his wife, you know, tell me, dear, have you ever been in love before? And she thought about it for a moment and replied, no, darling. I once respected a man for his great intelligence. I admired another for his remarkable courage. I was captivated by yet another for his good looks and charms. But with you, well, how else could we explain it except love? One gets a sense there that love and praise don't go together in that person's mind. But for David, you know, for David, God is so worthy. So worthy and so filled with characteristics that are worthy of worship, that for him he does not separate love and praise. The more I get to know him, the more I praise him. The more I see him for who he really is, the more I praise him, the more I love him. Love and praise working together. And again, notice that the personal pronoun, right in verse 1, I will exalt you, my God, the King. When David sings about God, his King, he's not singing, he's not praising some unknown blob. All right? He's not He's not singing or talking about some impersonal force or energy, some unmoved mover, some first cause of the universe, some cosmic watchmaker or anything like that. God is very personal to David. You get that sense. My God, my King. And this is one of the things that probably fascinates him and causes him to worship. And, you know, Terry read Psalm 8 earlier today. What is man that you are mindful of him? I don't know about you, but, you know, there was a time when I thought that God was in his heaven. And one day, you know, that he really is not involved. He really doesn't care about what we're going through. And I thought one day after you die, then you go and meet God. And you finally meet this creator. That's what I used to think about God when I was in my teens. But then to realize, you know, the day that the Lord saved me. And I realize, you're kidding. You're that real. You're that personal. You care that much about us. You're that close. And from that day on, it was like just the reality of God. And David, you know, this is one of the things that causes him to praise and worship God, is just that this personal God. He's my God. He's my King. He's that close. He does things for us. He guides me. He loves me. He cares for me. And this is where we need to begin as well, many of us. It's not enough for, you know, if all you have is your father's God or your mother's God or your grandmother's God or the nation's God, you will never be able to praise like this. Not until God is your God, my God. You know, and it's just the reality that David experiences. And I know, you know, in talking with people, very often this is what's missing in their life. They will acknowledge, I've got the facts, I've got the truths, I know the responsibilities, but this is what's missing very often. It's the reality, the personal reality of how close, how good, how real God is in a person's life. Again, I remember a young woman, and she said for the longest time she was involved with churches, and she would listen to various Christians, and she said, I always used to be puzzled when people used to say, you know, talk about God as though he did something for them, or you know, he spoke to them, or he guided them. I never understood what they were talking about. But one day, when the Lord got a hold of me, now I speak about him as if he's mine. Now I say those words. He spoke to me. He guided me. He touched me. He cares about me. And he said, that's when life changes. That's when your understanding of God changes. And it's not just theoretical anymore. It's a living relationship. And David here in this psalm, he's experiencing God. I mean, just, Lord, you're so good. You're abundantly good. You're righteous. You're gracious with me and with others. Lord, so often I thought you'd destroy me, and I thought my sin would cause you to cast me away. Instead, I found a God who is slow to anger. And I found, what I found about your love over the years is that it's steadfast, it's solid, it's reliable. You're good to all. Your mercy is over all that you have made. I'm so amazed at your power. You're awesome. Your work is awesome. When you speak, Lord, you speak the truth. You stand by your word. Lord, you're so kind. You hear our cry and you answer us. Wow, you just get that sense that God is so real to David, that unless that were true, you can't write something like this. And this is what he's experiencing. Now, I want you to see that, you know, while David is in this frame of mind, what does he do? I mean, and it's in that frame of mind that we need to understand what he says here in verse 1. He says, I will exalt you. Now, if you have the ESV, it says, I will extol you. You see that later in verse 2. And extol has the idea that I will enthusiastically praise you. I will do it with all my heart. This will be a joy to me. Okay, this isn't a routine. This isn't boring for me. Like, I will extol you, like my whole heart will be in it, full of praise. I'm excited about the idea of worshiping you. But again, I will exalt you, extol you, my God the King. Now think of those words, I will. Or sometimes we say, I will not. You know, sometimes those words, I will not, just reminds us of those times when we're, you know, just, we're determined. I will do this, or I will not do this. And so sometimes it's that, you know, and this is partly what David is saying. I am determined. Now that I've seen your glory, now that I've experienced your grace, I am determined. I will exalt you, my God, the King. So there's that sense of determination. Sometimes the words I will also come up in the context of commitment. I know in a marriage ceremony, sometimes when we're taking people through their vows, you know, will you do this, 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 and the person responds, say, I will love you. I will do these things. And it's a commitment. I'm determined and I am committed. I will take you to be my God. He's making this public covenant. I will do this. Another thought here in those words is just that he's saying, what I will do it willingly. I won't be forced to bow the knee. I will do it. I want to do it. I have a desire to do it. Nobody needs to force me to do this. It'll give me great joy to do this. Nobody has to put a gun at my head and say, convert or die. Worship or die. No, I will do it out of a full heart, out of a desire. I see your glory and I've been blessed by it, and now I want to do this. I will. Another context where those words, I will or I will not, are sometimes used is when people are being defiant. Parents, you've heard this. I will not. Defiance. Remember Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego says to the king, our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, but if not, know this, O king, we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up, O king. Will not. There's that sense of defiance. I will, or I will not. And when it's spoken in that context of defiance, of course, there's always, you know, there's always that the context is where other people are want you to do otherwise, or they've made a commitment themselves to go in a different direction than you, and they're trying to influence you to worship idols or whatever it is, and. And you say, I will not. If you're determined to marginalize God, I'm determined to give him first place in my life. If you're determined to reject him, I'm all the more so determined to receive him. If you're determined to use his name in vain, I'm more determined to praise his name. It's that sense of, we will be different. I will exalt you, my God and King. Though everybody else choose not to, I will do this because you are worthy. You know, it's striking how little really worship and praise is given to God in our society. We're a secular society, I realize. But, you know, we believe in the separation of church and state, but I think we go much further. We've separated God from education and schools. We separate God from film and art. We separate God from science and from learning and the beauty of the earth. We separate God from morality. We separate God from everyday events. let something go wrong and people, you know, hey, where was God in this? Let something go right and all. Somehow worship doesn't seem to be a part of our mindset, of our deep down in our spirits, that the worship of God is not there. And here's a man who's just, you know, possibly looking around and says, oh, I will, because God is worthy of worship, and almost feeling grieved that he has to make up for the fact that everybody else isn't doing it. To exalt God means to make him the ultimate priority, primary relationship in our life, just overcome by him. This determination as well needs to be just evident in the sense of being a strong commitment to exalt God as King and make him that priority in our lives. And I hope that we Mountain View, that this is my challenge for all of us. Lord, just I pray that we will be a people of worship, that you open our mouths, that you just open our lips, that we may praise you, that God, we will exalt you, though nobody else exalts you, that nobody else in my family, that nobody else in my school, that nobody else, even in the church, whatever it is, that I'm determined to praise God. Now, verse 2. By the way, I'm not going to go through every verse this way. Don't worry about it. I tell you, though, we could spend all month on this psalm, but verse 2, every day I will bless you. Just think about that. Every day I will bless you. Wow. Let me ask, do you want to be blessed every day? Don't we wake up every day? The minute something goes wrong, I mean, we want every day to be blessed, right? Bless me, Father. Give me, Father. Protect me, Lord. Give us our daily bread. Save me, Jesus. Every day we want to be blessed. And I believe that God does bless us every day. If we count our many blessings, if we have an eye for this, we will see that God is blessing us every day. Well, it because of that, David sees and says, every day I will praise you. I will bless you too. Every day. Wow. But think about it. I mean, is it? What else could we say? Lord, I'll praise you today, not sure about tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow's not a good day as far as my schedule looks and as far as I, you know, all the things that I know that are coming up. But no, I mean, David is like, if you know God, you make a commitment to bless him every day, to praise him every day. There's no other way around this. Not when you get a vision of who God is and what he does in our lives. You can't love holiness one day and then the next day go to sin for comfort. You can't exalt and praise God and then turn around and harm his good name the next day. To exalt God, it's that determination to live consistently through the long haul of your life, every day. And that means that today I will make decisions that will not impede the glory of God tomorrow. All right? Every decision I will make today for my life now, I will make sure that these decisions, as far as I can tell, will not cause me tomorrow or the day after to not glorify God. I will praise you. In some ways, again, I just think of the marriage commitment, you know. When you marry, you don't marry just for today. You say, Lord, from this day forward, I take you from this day forward. From here on in, you are my love. You are my blessing, and I will bless you. And so there's all of that sense that I won't cheapen my commitment to God by just giving him, you know, next week. I mean, I've known people, you know, who have told me, You know, when I've asked them to consider giving their lives to Christ, you know, he said, you know what, I'm young right now, all right? Right now I'm young. I want to live it up. I want to just experience the world and experience sin for a while. And then after, I know that there's truth to what you're saying, Vic. Then after, I will get right with God. I'll give God my old age, okay? I will give him, I'll give him, you know, when I'm down and out, maybe then I'll give him my life. I'll give him when I've got no strength. For David, it's like, he deserves our very best. What are you talking about? Youth is the best time to serve him. Give him every day of your life and let it begin now. Now, I believe that people who want to exalt God every day, that they learn how to trace all the blessings in their daily life to God. One of the practices that people must do to praise God every day is to trace all of God's blessings back to God. Again, I remember a conversation that I had with an atheist, and I was sharing my testimony with him and how God had, just changed my life. And I remember his response to me was, no, you did it. You changed yourself. You should pat yourself on the back. You made yourself a good person. That's what he said. You know, you should take that credit for yourself. And I told him that I remember that there were times that my wife came home from work, and she said that she came up with this brilliant idea that solved the problem, and then her boss would go to some conference and present it as though it was his. What do you call that? Plagiarism? And I said, I it would be wrong for me to take the credit when I know it was God who changed my life. It would be wrong. You know, Tancho's another great person. Just whenever he would go to work or wherever he was, people would always say, Tancho, you're just so filled with joy and happiness in your life. I just love your personality. And every time people would say that to him, he would say, friend, I need to tell you what God has done in my life, because this is not just of me. I will give God the praise. Wow. What about talents? You know, as much as I don't appreciate some of the lyrics and the things people do in film sometimes, but every once in a while when you watch these awards, you know, first of all, I want to thank Jesus. I don't know if Jesus would approve about everything you said, but I love the spirit about it. I love the fact that people are tracing back, you know, what the good in my life, that he's been involved in it, and I want to give him thanks. I also remember hearing this young guy who found this girl very attractive and said, you know, did anybody ever tell you you are really beautiful? And she said, oh, thank you. I'll remember to thank my parents when I get home. Wow. I think she needs to go even back further than that. But just that idea, you know what? It's like, these are gifts. I trace things back. That's how we develop a spirit of praise, when we take what we're going through and we just see the hand of God, that all good things come from the hand of God. And I would encourage all of us, you know, to not thank our lucky stars, or to avoid thanking Lady Luck as much as possible, because she's a great thief. She takes all kinds of praise when she doesn't deserve it. And again, you know, even as something as simple as our daily prayer before eating, I know sometimes it might feel tedious and monotonous and all that, but it's one of the ways that we, you know, we realize, well, every day, it's my daily bread. God gives me food. Every day, God blesses me. And if I stop thanking him before I eat, before I know it, I'll just start thinking this is all accidental. This is all just, you know, my work. I'm the one who makes it happen. And so, you know, it's important to find a godly daily habit of thanking God for blessings, whatever they may be. But friends, I also think that when David is saying, I will exalt you every day, I will praise you, wow, that is not easy to do. It's easy to do when a lot of blessings come our way, but I was just thinking about this. There are times that I just like, wow, how on earth do I give praise and extol God's name, like when I'm going through difficult times? How do we do it? And Paul ended his letter to the Philippians by saying, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. And you know that he was writing this epistle from prison. And you know, who knows what could have happened as a result of being there? I mean, sometimes the clouds are just covering the sunshine. I mean, how do we praise God every day with that steadiness, with that every day? But you know what? I really believe that that there is no greater praise and worship of God than when we actually say, Lord, I trust you even now. Those words, when they speak from our heart, here's what Job said, though he slay me, yet shall I trust in him. Or David, though thousands surround me, thousands of enemies surround me, yet shall I praise him. Lord, I'm not going to judge you by my circumstances. I'm not going to judge your love by how things are going. I'm going to look past all that, look up to the heavens and see that you're on your throne. I will look into your word and see that you're my king and that you have every right to bring into my life whatever problems there are. And believe me, guys, God, there are trials with our names on it, sent by God for us. I don't know the reasons why. Sometimes it takes years to know. Sometimes we never know. But if God is your king and my king, then we have to say, Lord, if it comes from you, I will accept it. And even though Satan might be the one who's bringing this, behind Satan, there's a God who permits and ordains. And there really is no greater act of worship than to trust God. That's what he's looking for us to do. Praise me by trusting me. Saying, not my will be done, but thine. You know, and I've noticed as well in life that when God is exalted, our problems diminish. When our problems are exalted, God diminishes. And really, those are the choices that we have. What is greater in my life? What is greater? The problems, the trials, or is God greater? What is greater? You know, again, I would also add, you know, some of us are so good at cursing the darkness and condemning things in the world. But David is so good at just exalting the grace and the mercy of God. And I was challenged again this week. Am I better at cursing the darkness and observing the evil around the world and all the mess? Or am I better at just worshiping God, exalting him, seeing the one who reigns and who allows all things to work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose? Wow. Again, friends, when is a good time to make this commitment? You know, verse 1, top of the psalm, David starts with it. Before telling you anything else, before telling us anything else, this psalm says, that's the first thing I want you to know about me. First thing. And I really want to encourage all of us, may it be the first thing, you know, that people come to know about us. that we are worshipers of God. And by the way, let's point this out here. You notice in the heading it says a psalm of praise. There's no other psalm in the whole Psalter, in the whole book of Psalms, that has that phrase, a psalm of praise. It's almost like this is the ultimate one. And I'd also have you note that this is the last psalm in the book of Psalms where the name of David is actually referred to. Oh, this is the last one. It's almost like, you know, the last word that David also wants us to know, the last word is praise God. I will praise him in my life. And then finally, you know, again, Doug mentioned this in his presentation this morning, his announcements about our hope. And notice what David says, I will praise your name forever and ever. Wow. I'm starting now, but it will go on forever and ever. It will extend far beyond the grave. It will happen forever. You start praising and worshiping God today, and it will go on forever. You don't worship him today or tomorrow and in this life, then don't expect to worship him forever. It begins now, and it enters into eternity. And so I conclude, just this is my prayer for myself and for all of us, that God would just open our eyes to see just his glory, the great things all around us. You know, those of you who really love science and read about science, you should be some of the greatest worshipers in this place, because your mind is always on the marvelous deeds of God. As you study the Word of God, I tell you, you know, just even throughout Christmas, God became so much greater to me as I spent time realizing how the Messiah had been promised throughout the Old Testament, and how God brought all these events together to make it happen. It's like, what kind of God can do this? He's a great and glorious God. We need to meditate, we need to read, we need to share stories and hear stories of praise so that we as a community can also begin to praise God. And notice he says, I will extol you, my God, the King. David is a king, and he is worshiping God, his King. And who is the King? Jesus is the King. Jesus is our King. And today, as we come to the table, as we reflect on what the table is about, his body, his blood shed for us, that we may be a saved people, that we may be a joyful people, that we may be his people, I pray that as you just spend time reflecting and being in the presence of the cross, and that you will see that great love of God, and that once you see it, once you grab onto it, once it grabs onto you, that you will commit, we will commit together to just say, from this day forward, every day, Lord, I shall praise you, not just on Sundays, but Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays. And on Sundays, we come together as a community and we praise the Lord together. May he open our lips, may he open our eyes, may he open our hearts, that we may become a people who worship a great God with great worship. Father, thank you for Psalm 145. And we've just touched the tip of the iceberg here. There's so much more to this psalm. But Lord, I pray that we will indeed become known to be an enthusiastic group of people who love to worship you, who love to come together, and so who look forward to the worship of God. That our thoughts are focused on you, that out of full hearts, that we praise you and that we be a people who trust you so that we can truly worship you, O sovereign God. Lord, as we prepare for communion, prepare our hearts. We know that this is not a work that we do of ourselves. Create in us a new heart, a clean heart, O God. You are greater than our hearts. And we look to you to work in us this great transformation of the Spirit. We need you, Lord Jesus. And today we want to worship you and remember you and be fed by you. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just ask the elders to come forward and tarry in the